This is Arts Live and Local. This is Carol, your host. This is a very special weekend. We have a town filled with fishers, fisher poets, singers, artists of all kinds. And I've got a show full of them. I've got George and Brett and Elena and Hannah and Emily and music as well. So let's start right out. 503-325-0010. And I want to welcome our friends from the other side of the country up in Boutelier's Point.
He had a date with some bivalves every Friday night. Met them down at Anthony's Grillin' Bar. It was a straight shot of love he was really looking for, but nobody had set him up so far. So once a week he tied his bib on straight, ordered up a half shell plate of Quilcene's, Kumamoto's, and a beer. He'd take a breath and open wide, tip him back and let him slide, and sip the liquor loud enough to hear. He had a girl back in high school, well, she was really just a friend, but he took her to the movies and the dance. He hoped that spark of friendship would ignite the fire of love, but she moved away, he never got the chance. When he started work 5 days a week, his sex drive then was at its peak, and it made him mighty thirsty for gal. The loneliness about drove him mad. He was thinking about a single Zed, 'cause he was looking for a lover, not a pal. Well, the years went by, still no luckin', till he saw this oyster shucking contest down at West Bend on the coast. She was tying a white apron on this perky little Finnish plum, when the final whistle blew, she chucked the most. Now he offered her a victory hug, gave those apron strings a tug, said, how about you and me go take a ride? She said, hold on, you eat these quick, I think you find they'll do the trick. And sure enough, his love life came alive.
You are listening to Love on the Half Shell with John Van Am, or John Van Amerongen. We heard quite a show this morning with a bunch of folks, and you are going to be treated to a lot of wonderful music, poetry, and art. This year, the official Fisher Poets Gathering schedule has been published inside the Coast Weekend. That's February 26th. So when you go to get your button, which I am proudly wearing, you can pick up a copy, or perhaps you already have one. And you can see everything that's happening and choose where you want to go, or you might want to just choose one spot and hang out there. And my first guest is not a Fisher poet. However, he is a fisherman, and he is an artist, but he's in a different realm. And this is George Wilson. So welcome, George.
Hi, Cuddle.
And, George, where are you from?
I'm from Scotland, particularly the northeast of Scotland, a small fishing village called Portnochy, a wee fishing village.
Is that a one-word thing?
It's one word, yeah.
Okay. And now where do you live?
I live in Portland.
So the name of your show is?
Port to Port.
I love it. You know, when I first saw that, I was just thinking, well, you fish in Scotland, so it's a port, and then you're here in Oregon, in Astoria. And then I realized, no, it's beyond that. It's that and then some. Portnochy to Portland. and we are delighted to have you. Now, you've been coming to this festival for several years, is that right?
I first came, I think, in 2009. I think I talked to you, in fact, I had a little show in the AVA gallery.
Yes, you did, and I got a little piece of your
artwork. You did. You bought a little painting, yeah.
But you were still living in Scotland
at that time. Yeah, I moved to Portland in 2010, September 2012. Sorry,
12.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So there was a gap. Well, one very exciting event that is actually, as far as I can tell, going to kick off the Fisher Poets Gathering, is that George has a show called Port to Port at the Imogen Gallery, which is on the corner of 11th and Marine Drive. And it's right in the neighborhood of where a bunch of the Fisher Poets happenings are going on. But this, your show opened a couple of weeks ago.
It right? opened on Valentine's
Day. Sweet. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But we're having yet another party.
We're having a party tonight for the Fisher Poets, yeah.
Right. So it's from 4 until 7. So right after this show, you can head on over to Imogen Gallery. Actually, you can go anytime. The show is up. But this is a special welcoming reception, and in the visual language, so 4 to 7, your paintings are watercolors mostly, all or what?
All watercolors on paper, yeah.
Is that what you've always done?
It's not what I've always done. I went to art school, I painted in oils, I tried everything, but watercolors, it was just an affinity, and I loved and I love painting in watercolor.
Does it have anything to do with your life on the water? Are you a Pisces, or you know,
I'm not. I'm an Aries. I thought about that, and I don't know. Maybe it is. I've lived by so close to the water all my life.
You grew up in this fishing village.
Yeah.
And how many people are there? Ish.
Ish 1,000 people.
And on the whole island. Or
in the village. It's just a village on the coast.
A village on the coast.
Yeah.
Not on the island. Okay. Okay. So how did you, was yours a fishing family?
Yes. Fishing family. Okay. My dad was a fisherman. Both my grandfathers were fishermen.
Oh, my.
Their fathers, my brother still runs the boat in Scotland. Yeah.
So it makes sense that you would become a fisherman.
It makes sense, but I went to art school after.
Well, that's where the glitch is. Now, how did you get from this village of 1,000, where you and probably many other people were fishermen? How did you go to art school? Where did that come from?
I wanted to. I always wanted to be an artist. I didn't want anything else than to leave high school and go to art school.
Where was your influence from? Were there teachers who encouraged you? Were your books?
Well, I always painted. I got encouragement at high school, and I submitted a portfolio to the Gray School of Art in Aberdeen and was accepted. And yeah,
were there other people from your village who went to art school?
No, not at that time. From the high school, yeah, two or three, but not from the village. No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No,
it's just curious because we talk about culture influencing our lives, and unfortunately, so many people never get out of their own culture that they don't realize there's a big world out there. So that's the curious part for me, that you were deeply ensconced in a fishing culture,
yeah,
and yet you painted. Were you given colors when you were a child at home? Was everyone in your family playing with it, but you were the only one who emerged?
No, I can't remember a specific start. It was, I just always painted.
Always there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just what I did, yeah.
Okay. But you also fished.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I fished in my, while I went to art school, I fished in the summer break for money with my dad. And then leaving art school, I kind of tried to be a painter for a couple of years. That didn't work, so I went back to the family business.
Mm-hmm.
And stayed there for 22 years. I fished for 22 years.
But you continued to paint?
Oh, yeah, I continued to paint.
For yourself?
For myself, yeah. I had a few shows after leaving art school and group shows and stuff. But it kind of petered out, and I guess I was young, and you have to find your voice and your technique, and you have to find your way. And some people take longer than others.
Well, you've certainly found your way here to Astoria, to Imogen Gallery. Have you, you showed at the AVA back in, what did we say, 09 or something?
2009,
2009.
Think, yeah.
And have you shown anywhere else in the States?
No, I had a little coffee shop show in Portland, but the Imogen is the first.
Well, this is very exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So tell us what we're going to see and how going to see. I did not do that
on purpose. The puns never stop.
There you go. Really, really. And how these two worlds of yours come together?
It's a lot of it is it's imagery of the birds and the fish and of the village. I don't, funnily enough, have really any images of boats and actual fishing, like fishermen fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's more the landscape, and the weather is always a big thing for me. Like, it's hard to say that, you know, clouds and light and the passing of the weather, but the birds, the architecture of the village, the stone houses, the shapes of those, and the sea.
Mm-hmm.
But
going to sea.
Yeah, going to sea.
And the living here now, have you given up fishing completely?
Yes. I was almost going to go to Kodiak to do some set netting,
mm-hmm.
but I injured my knee playing soccer. So that, and I think that was meant to be.
Uh-huh.
So I don't, who knows, but I have no plans to go back fishing.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. And yet you're here at Fisher Poets. You're going to be able to stick around and enjoy other people's
Oh, yeah, work. Yeah. It's a fantastic event. It's really, for people who don't know about it, it's so beautiful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People come and share, and it's amazing, yeah.
Well, I do want to give a shout-out to George's wife, who may have had something to do with bringing him to Oregon. And many of us, everybody actually who's involved with Fisher Poets, knows Mo Baustern. And sadly, Mo will not be here this
She's
festival.
She's not here in Astoria. She's home in Portland with the cats.
Sure, her heart is here, though.
Her heart is here. She's sad not to be here.
Yeah. She's a real leader and just a wonderful spirit to have here. She's done some fantastic shows, including young people and music and outrageous clothing and all kinds of stuff. And then she snared you and you snared her, and here you are, and that's wonderful. So again, let's kick off the weekend, the Fisher Poets Gathering Weekend with George Wilson, Port to Port, and watercolor paintings, and a real transition. And George will be there, I presume?
I will be there from 4 till 7 tonight.
Okay, excellent. So you can talk to him and figure out how the whole life comes together there. Do you ever miss fishing?
I do. I miss the being on the sea,
mm-hmm.
and seeing that and feeling. Yeah, I don't miss the work. The work mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. The work is so brutal at times. It's beauty. I mean, there is beauty in it, and you see beauty all the time, and it's amazing. It's brutal work. You know, yeah.
And your family is still, you've said you've got...
Yeah, my brother's still fishing. And actually, my dad, who is 77, was back at sea.
Mm. Wow.
Just this year, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take a look at the map and see where Port Nocky is. That's P-O-R-T-K-N-O-C-K-I-E.
Yeah, that's correct.
Great. In Scotland, on the northeast part of Scotland, in the North Sea. Thank you so much for being here. And for full disclosure, I did get a glimpse of the paintings, and I'm looking forward to going back, celebrating, and also getting a good look at your work.
Thank you, Carol.
I'm glad you're continuing on.
For having me in.
You bet. Okay. Again, that's George Wilson today. In 45 minutes, actually, the show is up now. You can go over now, but the party starts at 4 o'clock. This is KMUN, KTCB, and it's Fisher Poets Weekend. There's lots more going on as well, and I will be telling you about that. Right now, let's hear a song from Alexa Wiley, and I've got Brett coming in to tell you what's going on.
Planted a seed to grow. Will it grow? I do not know. It's wrapped up like a letter to the greatest friend. Just like a gardener knows on a wind that blows, there's always something coming in. Is it the water, the love, the earth, sun, the wind, or message the tiny package lends? I prefer the poetry, and I've got this six string, you know, there's a song that just gotta sing, and it goes, oh, mighty river, wash this seed around, bend, oh, like when you prayed to catch a fish in a native bed, just to show you how you belong. But you had to let it go, oh, oh, back to the river's flow. But you carry a message now, just like a song. And I used to wonder how I'd do through. Know, like a bird that flew, I'm a flower, such a strange bloom. All I can do is stare and hold out my hand, wrap myself up like a seed, plant the love again, and sing, oh, my river. Wash these seeds around the bend. Oh, 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 stormy water. Help me find your face again.
That is Alexa Wiley, and the name of the piece is Old Story Water from her album Poet of Empty Spaces. That was her second release in 2012, and she has a brand new release out, actually, which is wonderful. I really enjoy it. However, it is Alexa Wiley and the Wilderness, her band, which is why I didn't play it right now, because as far as I know, she is going to be here singing solo with a poet, not a poet, the poet, Dave Densmore. And here to tell us about that is Brett Vandenhoevel from Columbia Riverkeeper. Hi, Brett.
Hi, Carol.
Great to have you here.
Great to be here.
I should mention that Alexa is also going to be singing for Troll Radio Review tomorrow morning. That is at 11 a.m., 11 to noon, at the upstairs in the Fort George Brewery and Public House, along with Shanghai on the Willamette, who's got the cover of Coast Weekend this week, and, of course, the Troll Radio House Band. So, Brett, this is sounds like quite a weekend for you. You've got a couple of functions, don't you?
Yeah. Well, Riverkeeper's really excited to be part of Fisher Poets. It's such a special event, and, you know, the Columbia River Estuary is one of the most important parts of the whole Pacific Northwest for salmon, and, mm-hmm. and it's an area that we worked a lot to protect. So it's a real honor to be here. But yeah, we're in a workshop on Saturday morning at 11:30, talking about the health of the Columbia and partnering with some folks from Alaska and British Columbia called Salmon Beyond Borders. And we're going to talk about salmon and how to protect them. Mm-hmm. And then our big gig is we're going to have a concert at Saturday at 4 at the Event Center with Alexa Wiley, who you were just playing, and Dave Densmore.
Yeah.
And seeing them together is really special.
Absolutely. They've been teaming up for a while now. For the Love of Fish, I think, was the name of their...
Yeah.
And it's just terrific. They work so well together. And so how did that come about? And also, you know, I have to back up a little bit. Not everybody knows what Columbia Riverkeeper is, so I wonder if you can tell us that and then tell us how you put together the concert. I have a feeling you've been working with Dave and Alexa and lots of other folks around here for a while.
Yeah. So Columbia Riverkeeper works to protect the water quality of the Columbia. We work, we're a conservation group and a nonprofit, and we're driven by members, from fishermen to, you know, people who recreate on the Columbia, who care about the Columbia, eat fish. And we work to reduce toxic pollution. We work to stop bad stuff like fossil fuel export terminals, LNG here in the estuary, and coal and oil. We have an education program. We sample water quality.
And when you say the Columbia River, you're talking the whole thing, right?
Yeah, the whole thing.
From because, where to where?
You know, mostly from the Canadian border down is primarily where we do our work, but certainly partnering with some groups throughout the whole watershed up into Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense to try to, you know, work on one watershed and protect the river at all. It's the water's flowing downstream, so any pollution upstream affects down here at the mouth, and the salmon are swimming upstream, so we're all connected in this.
Yeah, well, you've come to Fisher Poets before. Is that right?
Have you
heard some of the folks doing poetry that connects with the mission of Columbia Riverkeeper?
Yeah. I love Fisher Poets. It's an event I try to come down for a lot. And yeah, I mean, the you know, fishermen are often on the front lines of conservation, the people who understand the water and understand the fish more than anybody, and have a huge stake in the game and have been some of the real champions. So hearing the stories about the work of fishing over the years, and also some of the big battles that have been won along the way to protect certain places. I know there's been a lot of talk here at Pebble Mine over the last few years, and that's been such a huge victory that has been led by fishermen, fisherwomen.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it's really exciting.
It is. This event it's grown so much, and it's a real educational event as well as a joyful, the work is poignant, funny, exciting, and watching all these folks converge right here in the estuary and just like the fish and come together and see each other. Some of them first time or once a year. They come here just for this. So how did you connect with Alexa and Dave?
Yeah, it's been many years now that, you know, Alexa and Dave are both kindred spirits that care about clean water and care about protecting salmon and other fish. And we just started doing, you know, we started doing events together, and they've been really generous with volunteering time and effort and their talents to host some events. And we thought trying to pull together something at Fisher Poets would be a great opportunity for people to see them together.
Well, it's going to be fantastic. They always are. And are you going to get a chance to give us a little bit of information at that gathering as well?
Yeah, we'll do a quick, you know, quick introduction of some issues. But I think the main part is just hearing the music and hearing the poetry. That's going to be the vast majority of it. So yeah, we hope people come out at 4 on Saturday. And it gives, you know, there's so many amazing poets and musicians here, and they have pretty limited times. And so this will give a chance to see Dave and Alexa, you know, for almost an hour and really chance to get into the show.
Right, because most people only get 15 or 20 minutes, you know, per set. So this is an exciting time. Again, this is 4 o'clock at the Event Center, and then you're there. And I believe Dave Densmore is going to follow up as the MC on the next one. So it's a perfect place to be. Well, thank you so much for coming to Astoria, for offering. And again, you have a workshop at 11:30 Saturday morning at the Maritime Museum in the Kern Room on water issue. It is, folks, if you don't know about this festival and you're anywhere in the area, check it out, fisherpoets.org, and come on over. It's one of a kind, even though there have been some spinoffs. This is definitely one of a kind. So Brett Vandenhoevel with the Columbia River Keeper, an organization that has done so much to protect the Columbia and so much to support our community right here in the estuary in Clatsop County and in many parts of Oregon. Thanks so much for coming in, Brett.
Thank you, Carol.
Okay. And as long as we're talking about Dave, let's see what he has to say.
It's a true story. I call it Spirit Raven. Now, this story I would tell, I swear on my eye, is true. You may think what you want, but I know what I conclude. A young fellow moved to Larson Bay, took a pretty native girl for a wife. He settled in and decided fishing would be his way of life. He seen summers with a damn good man, learned to do things right. He caught on mighty quick, because he was hungry and bright. He came with me one winter, was a cold, stormy time. The going was tough and fish were scarce, but he's always good for the grind. And he moved on and bought a boat. It seemed a natural order of things. Crabbed her hard in the wintertime, went seining in the spring. Came the time he had to stop and give that boat some major work. He beached her to do the job that he knew he couldn't shirk. Well, he'd almost finished when it came on to blow. One more tide he could take her off, just a few more seams to go. They say his working underneath. When she's hit by a mighty gust of wind, she rolled over on her side, and beneath her he was pinned. Someone called me late that night to give the sad old news. It's impossible to express the loss when another friend you lose. Next morning, as we dropped the lines and started off to run our gear, a raven came winging from Larson Bay and landed without a show of fear. All day long that raven rode, perched on that tall boom end, and watched us working gear like we were old and trusted friends. Up and down the strings he rode as I maneuvered forth and back, calmly watching all the while, dressed in his coat of black. Now, I've never seen a raven land on a boat to stay. To ride there all day long is just not the raven's way. But when evening came and we turned for home, he was still there on his perch. He'd rode there all day long, through every twist and lurch. I glanced back at him as we neared the dock. He seemed to look me in the eye. But when I looked again, he was gone, but I never saw him fly. Now, I have no explanation. What works for me might not for you. All I know are the facts above, and I swear by God they're true.
Oh. On a cold Sunday evening, his crabber was leaving. The boat was all packed up with groceries and gear. The tanks were pressed tight and the big cat was purring. He heard these last words that she spoke from the pier. Think of me when the sun dances bright on the ocean. Feel the warmth I send you from heaven above. Send it back to my heart with your thoughtful reflection, and light up my night with your undying love. They pulled up the lines and slipped past the jetty. The lights on the mast caused the darkness to burn. It was north to Alaska they thought they were headed, but God only knew they would never return. It was late the next evening, her phone started ringing. The voice on the line said, I'm sorry to call, but we need you to know that we're all out here searching for sign of the crabber, the boat crew and all.
That's John Van Am again. We have this Fisher Poets Gathering 6th. It was, I think it was the same album released twice. Let's Go Take a Look. And I'm noticing that John Van Am was the singer on this. And then we have others' poetry. So we heard from Dave Densmore with Spirit Raven. And then John Van Am with Think of Me. And speaking of thinking of me, I need to announce that I slipped up a little bit because today I had two radio virgins on the air and I forgot to congratulate them on their virgin experiences on not just Coast Community Radio, but on any radio. I had no idea. So both George Wilson and Brett Vandenhoevel, welcome to the world of radio. Now I have three women, and apparently two of them are virgins too. So this is quite the show. The third one, however, is not, because she's from Alaska and she's had experience. Is that right?
Yeah. My name's Hannah Heimbuck. I come from Homer, Alaska, and I've been known to volunteer at our local public radio station, KBBI.
KBBI. And is that a community radio station?
It is.
Guess what? That is a sister station to us.
So yeah, it's good news.
Welcome to Coast Community Radio. That's wonderful. KMUN. Hannah is here from Homer. She is a fisher and a fisherman's daughter. Is this true?
That's true. Born into the business.
Okay. And are you still fishing?
I am, yeah. I fish in Cook Inlet in the Gulf of Alaska.
Is that a full-time or part-time?
It's part-time. I fish in the summer for salmon in July and longline for halibut around Kodiak in May.
Okay. And then I have noted here, but I'm not sure what it means, a community fisheries organizer with Alaska Marine Conservation Council. That's a mouthful there. What does that mean?
Yeah, basically, I do a lot of community organizing, like the name sounds, and outreach around marine conservation issues, whether that's policy or education, things like that.
So you're working with the an organization?
Yeah, I'm a staff member for the Alaska Marine Conservation Council.
Okay.
So I help
And you're based in Homer?
Yeah, that's the great thing. The organization is based in Anchorage, and we're a statewide organization advocating for marine conservation. And then I am one of their regional organizers, and I live in Homer.
Fantastic. Did you actually grow up in Homer?
I was born and raised there, yeah.
How gorgeous. Yes, I actually visited Homer. We have two Homerites here. That's fantastic. And so you were able to... Boy, this sounds like a very full life.
It is.
And is this what you saw yourself doing? I mean, you did grow up in a fishing family, so you knew what it was about. Did you expect yourself to be fishing at this stage in life?
No, not necessarily. I started fishing when I was 24, and, you know, my brother had been the main deckhand for years up until then. And, you know, finally they needed another hand, so I got to go out and do it. And there was really no turning back after that. And I always knew my life needed to be about words and fish. And through luck and perseverance, I somehow found an occupation and a hometown that really supports that.
Wow. Wonderful. I mean, that's like a dream.
It
And you are writing?
I am. Yeah, my background is in journalism, in newspaper reporting, and now I'm pursuing a master's in fine arts in creative writing, and of course I write about fishing.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's great. So what are you going to be doing this weekend?
This weekend, this is my first visit to Fisher Poets. I've always wanted to come.
So you see, you're a virgin too.
Yes.
You're a Fisher Poets Gathering virgin. Yeah. We knew we could get you in there somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's
so
your first time.
I'm reading tonight at Kala and tomorrow night at the Wet Dog, and I'm just really excited to be joining this amazing group of people that loves the same things that I do. It's great.
Did you run into any people that you knew that and you didn't realize they'd be here? People you'd met anywhere else?
I ran into Steve Schoonmaker from Kasilof, Alaska, who's,
boy,
I know.
Steve Schoonmaker is everywhere.
He is. And I had just got my button and my t-shirt and my anthology and was walking down the street with a big smile on my face and ran into Steve. Which
That's
was great.
Great. I had a musical group on a few weeks ago, and they are not fishers, but they knew Steve also, and it was like, what? My goodness, so far away. So, well, welcome to the radio station, welcome to Astoria, and welcome to your first Fisher Poets
Thank
Gathering.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful. Elena Lansing is actually a student at Willamette University and also a daughter of a fisherman and a fisher poet.
Yeah,
is
that's
that right?
So
where did you grow up?
I grew up in Boise, Idaho. That's my hometown. I was born there, but my family fishes on Bristol Bay, and I've always been involved in that part of their lives as well.
Did you actually, were you taken up there when you were a child?
The first time I went up there was for set netting when I was 4 years old, but I still remember it pretty clearly. We were living in a place called Graveyard, which I always thought was a really ironic place to live, but it was actually quite beautiful, and we had a nice summer up there.
Yeah, and it was quite different from Boise, Idaho, I should say.
I should think so, yeah. It was almost a culture shock, really.
So how did your folks, did they always live in Boise and went up to Alaska, or how do you get to be an inlander who's committed to fishing, I guess?
Well, my parents met in Michigan where they were both children, and then they moved together to Boise, Idaho to do environmental work out there.
Wow.
And then they met some people, some good friends of theirs who were from Alaska, who took them up to the bay, and
nice.
My dad's been there ever since.
How wonderful. How wonderful. How old are you now?
I'm 20.
20. Okay. What are you studying at Willamette?
Anthropology, cultural anthropology. I'm a junior.
Okay, and is there any link between that and the life that you've been leading?
My life, what I want to do with my life has always been based around stories. That's what I think about. That's what I've always been really passionate about, and that's something, anthropology lends itself really well to that, writing an ethnography, which is just basically a story about real people. And I think that fishing in Alaska is a great place to find really poignant, beautiful, creative, funny stories, and that's another reason that I really like Fisher Poets is the hilarious and sometimes really tragic and beautiful stories that you hear from these poets.
Wonderful. So did you say cultural anthropology is what you're studying? Okay. I missed that the first time. Until you started talking about the stories, I went, oh, yes. Excellent. That should be very exciting. And you participate
In Fisher Poets?
In Fisher Poets.
Yes. I've read poetry twice, and last year I sang just one song, and this year I'm coming back for a whole 15 minutes.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. Where are you going to be this week?
I'll be at the Wet Dog tonight and Pier 11 tomorrow night.
Oh, Pier 11. I didn't realize that.
Is that the name of it? Is something like that? Yeah, Pier
11.
That's a new one, I think.
Okay, how cool. Yeah, this festival keeps growing, actually. And and what you just said about when you did one song, was that part of an open mic?
Well, last year my father, Phil Lansing, who's a seven-year returning Fish Poets performer, was an MC at one of the venues.
So he snuck you
and
in.
And he snuck me in at the very end.
I love it. It's who you know around here.
I think so.
Okay, folks, we're finding out the real story. But obviously, people thought it sounded good, so okay.
Yeah, I got an invite back, so
that's
here I
wonderful.
Am.
That's wonderful. Okay, and we're going to see, depending. I think we're going to have time to hear something of yours.
All right.
I want to introduce my third guest here. This is quite wonderful, and I want to thank John Broderick for keeping me posted on all the wonderful people coming. Emily Springer is here, and Emily, am I right, you're also from Homer?
Yes, Homer.
How could this be? I mean, that's pretty outrageous to have two people from Homer, Alaska, who don't know each other, right? You didn't?
Oh, no, we've known each other a long time.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't realize that because I had you two posted together and then Emily came up. So, Emily, tell me about your life. I know you have, you're involved in politics as well, so it does make fishing politics. I see you grimaced at that, so maybe that's not right. You tell me.
Well, I sort of feel like I connect the two of you because I'm actually working on a PhD in cultural anthropology.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
What I do is mostly oral history, and oral history, excuse me, of the fisheries. I kind of started off on this track with my master's program at the University of Washington. I was in the School of Marine Affairs and got involved with NOAA, Alaska Fisheries Science Center there in Seattle. But my master's work was based on the Pacific cod fishermen in the Bering Sea. We being my advisors through NOAA, wanted to work on cod because that particular industry out west kind of combines the entire spectrum of Bering Sea fishermen. We have the trawlers and the pot cod guys and the longliners. But I was kind of doing the same thing that I'm doing now, which is essentially life history work for commercial fishermen. And I happen to be working out of Cordova for the most part now, but I've been doing this kind of stuff for almost 10 years. But I fish also. My dad fishes, my brother fishes, my husband has a seiner. So I'm kind of in the industry part of it, too.
It's three for three here, folks. We've got daughters of fishermen as well as writers, presenters, and people deeply ensconced. And the only big difference is that Emily and Hannah are from Homer, and Elena is from Boise. But now, Oregon.
Oh, yes.
I like, that sounds better. You're on the coast, you know, kind of thing. So, Emily, you've got a congratulations coming, I understand. You've written Swimming Home. Tell us about that. And it's going to be published in National Fisherman. We don't have time to read it on the air, but you're going to be presenting it?
So here's where the politics side kind of comes in, because King Salmon in Alaska gets a lot of political drama, and this particular piece, I'm sort of asking people to look at what the species, the Chinook species, means on its own, not necessarily in terms of any particular industry or gear type or sport fishing feature, but what exactly is going on with king salmon and why, and the various reasons for declines all across the state, really. Hannah can tell you a little bit more about the Kenai dynamics of it. The Kenai River is a really controversial spot in the state. But there's a lot going on with bycatch and the trawl fleet out west also. And to be able to bring it closer to the fish, I guess, and not so much the fishermen or politics, is where I'm going with that particular piece.
Interesting.
And actually, Hannah has read it.
And you're going to be presenting it?
I think I'll probably do that one tomorrow.
Okay. So do you have something a shorter piece to perhaps offer us now?
I don't have anything really short, but what I was going to do or what I was thinking about doing was reading just the intro paragraph to that piece.
Okay, okay. That'll work, sure. Emily Springer from Homer, now working in Cordova. And so this is from Swimming Home, which will be published in National Fisherman.
Okay. Swimming Home. Ankarankis Shawicha, see how I did with that pronunciation, our king of salmon. On a lovely summer day, all we really need is king salmon and rice. It flavors itself and fries with all the fat of his own body. So much more oil than a red or pink, more flavor than anything. At the same time, watch a bear bat grizzly paws against the upriver path. There is no shortage of obstacles for the king. A king is a feast for all, a prime consumption. We love it and we fight for it, sometimes rather inappropriately. There are some nasty features of human identity, behavioral commonalities that suit all of us. Blame, fault, greed, burden, and self-pity, and it's hard to avoid these. It's hard to admit them, too. These emotions create a challenge to communication and they impose conflict and challenge. I'm thinking of these emotions in regards to notable declines of the king. Everyone thinks his or her own group is the one who deserves more access to the resource than anyone else. And really, everyone should be aware of the larger problem that the species faces. This isn't regional. It isn't a problem for Southeast or Cook Inlet or Kodiak or the Yukon River. These rivers are not mutually exclusive or independent. The ecosystem features for king salmon includes a huge range of topics, major oceanic issues, Pacific decadal oscillation, Arctic climate change, acidification. River issues like hydropower, logging, dams, populations, and human construction. True subsistence needs and memories of what used to be and desires. The commercial industry, deep sea trawlers, catcher processors, catcher vessels, seine, drift, set net managed by both federal and state regulations. International variations on the concept of region and how far from home streams the king salmon swim. Fisheries are also cultural, and there are issues of sport fishing for enjoyment, tourism, and actual personal use. And many people take pride in images showing an angler holding up a 50-pound king salmon, just for the sake of the animal, an exciting experience it may provide. Although that's not my approach to the animal, I realize it's worthwhile for some people.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's fantastic. This is my guest, Emily Springer, with Swimming Home. And a part of what's exciting for me to be able to do this show, this morning Albert had some fabulous guests on from Fisher Poets, and I was at home laughing out loud at with the radio because they were having such a great time. And there were so many people who aren't fortunate enough to be here this weekend as the sun just came out, which is going to bless us for the weekend as well. And it's exciting to be able to give folks a taste of all the aspects of this festival, including the fact that in this room with me right now, I have three young women, and all of them are approaching or involved in this festival and in this issue, which touches so many people, but people don't think about it. And they're coming from different angles, and they're expressing in different ways, and I really, really appreciate it. So thank you, Emily, for giving us that reading. Elena,
mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to give us a song?
Certainly. I'll give you the first verse of a song that I have always really enjoyed singing. It's one that we love to sing on the boat up in Bristol Bay, and it's written by Mr. Gordon Bach, who will actually be performing later at this very gathering, and
yes,
I'm a little nervous
will.
About it to have him here while I sing his song, but it's one
exciting.
That I've always loved. It's called The Ways of Man, and I might do the first verse for you.
And this is Emily Springer. This is Elena Lansing from, at this point, of Willamette University. Okay.
All right. Oh, the ways of man are passing strange. He buys his freedom and he counts his change. He lets the winds his days arrange. And he calls the tide his master all the days, all the days, all the fine long summer days, when fish came rolling through the bays. swore he would not leave me.
Oh, wow. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
I think Gordon Bach is going to be thrilled. Does he know you're doing this?
I don't think so.
Well, he's a great guy, and he's been here a couple of times to ask story, including Fisher Poets a couple of years ago. I think he will be very pleased and proud. Everybody, that's one of the things about this information and about music in general, one of the reasons we have this radio station. People do move around. I ran into Mary Garvey on the street, and Gordon Bach has sung Mary Garvey's songs, and Mary lives right here across the river on the peninsula. So it's a mix and match kind of thing. So lovely. Thank you for giving us that. Hannah, got anything you want to give us?
I will read the first part of a poem I wrote just for this. I usually write prose essays, but I tried my hand at poetry. So this is the first couple sections of Raising Fishermen. At 6 weeks old, I became a fisherman. In Port Hyden, one big plane and two little ones from home. From one Alaska coast to another, strapped to my mother in the ice house. I learned to love the smell of salmon. Learned to focus my eyes on bright orange roe and silver tails and scales that stuck to us in the ice house. Ear pressed hard to a heartbeat that boomed when the bears came and mother barred three small daughters in the cabin. At 2 years old, I became a writer, said my first out loud sentence, said all my tiny joy and sadness in three words. I said, "Daddy gone ishing." It was the most important thing I could think of to tell people. It kind of still is.
Oh, that's just delightful. Oh, that's delightful. Now, is your father here, too?
No, he's at home.
Okay. I hope he's listening. He'll be very proud, maybe a little teary even, although probably you've read that to him.
No, he's never heard it.
Oh, my goodness. What a lovely gift
I finished it yesterday, so.
No wonder. Well, you said you usually do prose, but you read that very, very well as a poet. So that's
thank you.
Excellent.
I've been practicing.
Good. It makes a difference. You know, delivery is important. And all three of you, this is another. We have had nonfiction, prose, and music, and now poetry from my three guests. And you just heard from Hannah Heimbuch from Homer, Alaska. And she is part of this festival. All three of these women are part of the festival. Elena Lansing gave us a Gordon Bach song. And where are you going to be again? You said
The Wet Dog tonight and Pier 11 tomorrow night.
Okay. And Hannah, you're going to be at the...
At Kala tonight.
Kala tonight.
At 5, and then tomorrow at the Wet Dog at 6.
Okay. And Emily, are you... do you have a specific place you're going to be? Do you?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Fort George Showroom at 6, and...
Which day?
I'm sorry, today.
Okay.
So today, Fort George at 6, mm-hmm. and then tomorrow I will be at Pier 11 at 8 o'clock.
Okay. And you got it, folks? You heard it? Okay, I don't think I need say any more. This is a fabulous time. Thank you all for coming in. This was, makes my heart
thank you
grow.
For having us.
Wonderful.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, and best of luck, too. And I love making this connection when Emily said she's doing her PhD in cultural anthropology. And I saw Elena's face go, oh, great, because she's studying cultural anthropology as an undergraduate. So here we go. Connections right here at York Coast Community Radio Station. And I wanted to play you just a little bit of a song from the Winterlings. They are going to be at the Adrift tonight and tomorrow night, Pickled Fish at 9 p.m. And, okay, let's see if we can do this. There you go. The name of the piece is Long May You Live. And
to
I think
the oaks outside my window, long may you live. To dreamers with their tubes of pain and brushstroke canvases. To rooms where people make love and the breath with which they sing. Long may you
to the smiling Dalai Lama. Long may you live. They slaughtered all your people, and yet somehow you forgive. To leaves on apple trees performing photosynthesis. Long may you live. To the music in our marrow, long may you live. To the moon that hides in ocean tides and brings the sailors in. To sleep that keeps us wrapped tight in the night's black velvet skin. Long.
So, long may you live. Send that out to all of you, to our good friends who are healing, KMUN friends, as well as all our other people.